This is a no-surf music, Burning River Fireside Chat. With guest, Matt Armstrong of Murder by Death. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt-country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com. So this is another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chats. And I'm here at the Grog Shop in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, ready for the Murder by Death and also our good friend's Ha Ha Tonka show. And you've got somebody in the middle, right, Matt?
Corey Chisel and the Wandering Sons are in the middle.
Okay, so Corey Chisel as well. And I haven't heard him before, so I guess that will be a new experience for me. And I am joined today by Matt Armstrong, the bass player for Murder by Death. And this will actually be the third Murder by Death show that we're going to cover for our North Coast Nights segment.
Awesome.
And the second time we've interviewed one of you guys. Last time we had Adam, the lead singer and guitar player, and we're happy to have you here today. So thanks a lot for joining
us. You guys were at Akron too, right, the last time?
Oh, yes, we were at your Musica show. And actually, this is the first place I ever saw you guys play at. Because we've been big Ha Ha Tonka fans for a long, long time, and they play with you quite frequently, and they opened for you a couple years ago.
Right.
So that was my first Murder by Death experience, and have gotten into you guys quite a bit more since then.
Awesome.
So definitely great to have you back in town.
Nice to be back.
And there's a lot of big news with you guys going on lately, for sure.
Yeah.
One thing is you've joined the Tonk Boys on the Bloodshot Records label.
We have.
So that's pretty cool. They're one of our favorite labels. They're great to work with, and they've got a lot of great artists.
Yeah, it just made sense, and it was time, and yeah, so pulled the trigger on the whole Bloodshot thing.
Nice, nice. And how are you liking it over there?
I mean, so far so good. I mean, we've met those people before, and you know, hung out after shows and all that kind of stuff. You know, the record's not out yet, but we're feeling good about it. It just seems like a good fit. And, you know, it'll be, you know, having the Tonka Boys and all those guys, you know, I mean, should be kind of a sort of a family affair kind of deal.
Gotcha. Well, it's always nice to have friends on the same label because it gives you a lot more opportunities. And
right.
Especially when you're touring together. I mean, how long is this tour for you?
Like 6.5 weeks, something
okay.
Like that.
I mean, it's a long time on the road to be with people that you don't necessarily like. So.
Yeah, exactly. But the first time that we took Tonka out with us was another really long one too, and like so super super bonded, and so I can kind of go out with those guys standing on our heads, you know, it's all good.
Awesome. And are you fans of their music as well?
Yeah.
So that's another bonus, at least when you are getting ready to go up on stage yourself, you get to listen to something that you really like yourself.
Yeah, that really goes a long way, especially when it's a really long one, you know. If you feel like you got to just like buckle down and suffer through opening acts, like chances are you're not gonna be that stoked to actually get up there and do it yourself, you know?
Right.
So it's nice to have, and I think the way the show is laid out with these other two bands, it you know, it ramps up nicely, you know.
Gotcha. So you like to get your energy level up before you guys go up, because I know you guys...
It's helpful, yeah.
You definitely have a lot of energy on stage. That's why I think you're one of the better bands to see live.
Oh, shit.
I mean, you guys knock it out when you get up there. So
we try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you succeed every time that I've seen you, which is very cool. Because, you know, a lot of bands, they sort of go through the motions. And you guys have been at it for, what, almost 11 years now, right?
Something
like that? 12. Okay.
In October it'll be 12 years since our first show.
Okay. Well, that's pretty impressive right there with today's music market, you know. just keep it up at it that long. But the fact that you, you know, still get up there and really hit it hard every time and really into, you know, giving the fans the best experience, I think is one of the things that makes your band.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, if you feel like you're phoning it in, and, you know, and of course everybody's going to have some shit nights every now and again because they're hungover or they're tired or they, you know, miss their wives and girlfriends or whatever. You know, if you're feeling that way more often than not, then it's kind of like, why would you even try and do this, you know? So it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, we're going to be out for a while, but it's like, so let's make it count.
Sounds like a good plan. And you have been incorporating some of your earlier stuff into this tour as well, right?
So. Yeah, done some stuff. There's one song that we had never actually played live until this tour, and then there's some really old stuff that we brought back, because we realized it's been 10 years since the first one came out.
Mm-hmm.
And since the new record's not quite out yet, you know, it's kind of like, well, now we can actually give you a pretty good cross-section of everything that we've done.
I gotcha. And what's that like, you know, doing songs that you maybe haven't done in almost a decade?
A couple of it's pretty wild. I mean, at least it was at first, because, like, you're sitting there trying to relearn something that you wrote, you know, and you're like, what was I doing? How did I even do what was I thinking, you know?
Right.
I know for me, going back and looking at some stuff, and it's like, well, 10 years ago, how would I have played that? I think I know how. Yep, there it is. You know, you just sort of remember things, and like, I mean, hopefully we've all kind of grown as musicians since this thing started, but it's funny to see things that you're like, well, I couldn't think of anything else to do right there, so that's, you know, like, that's all I knew how to do.
Gotcha.
So it's been interesting and kind of a nostalgic and sort of like, oh, well, it's, what a journey we've had, you know?
Okay, so has some of the older stuff that you've brought back started to evolve then into more of, you know, the way that you see yourself today and the way that you play, or
maybe a couple of things here and there, yeah.
Because I know when I talked to Adam last summer when we did our interview, he was talking about how he felt like he was a much better vocalist now than he was back then, and how, you know, it seemed like doing some of the older pieces, you know, he might have done a few things differently if it had been, you know, recorded later, or he, you know, changes things to sort of suit the way that you guys operate now.
Sure, and I mean, I think if you asked anybody in a band, if they could go back and redo all their old records a couple years after the fact, I think most of them would probably say, yeah, you know, just, I mean, you gotta take it for what it is, but so, you know, but even when songs are just like new and then you know, you've been playing them for like 2 years, some things will change, you know, some stuff will evolve, or you think of something better to do at a certain point than you used to in the past or whatever, so a lot of times you do kind of have that, like, man, if I could go back and, like, redo that, it would be super, super awesome. Which I guess is a reason that I tend to like live records,
right?
Because you can hear the difference in, like, what's happened, and that, you know, it's really interesting to me to see how people evolve and all that. But it's cool to bring up some of the old stuff and just to know that people actually know it and still care about it and are excited to hear those songs.
Right.
And I don't know. There's some little memory lane stuff going on. It's fun.
Gotcha. Well, that's one of the things about your fans in particular, because Murder by Death is in a lot of ways almost the definition of a cult band. I mean, there's nobody that kind of likes Murder by Death. You know, it's either you're all in, or you've never heard of them, or, you know.
I never really thought about it, but I guess, yeah, that's probably true, I guess.
I mean, you go to a Murder by Death show, and almost everybody in the audience can sing along with almost every word. It's pretty obvious.
What's been really wild lately is that we've, you know, between us trying some of the new stuff out on the road, and, you know, people, like, YouTubing it and all that kind of stuff, I mean, like, we've gone and played shows, and people know the words to the songs that haven't come out yet, which is incredibly flattering and maybe verging on creepy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean,
music stalkers all over
kinda,
the country.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, what do you already know how to play this song that we haven't even released? You know, it's just kind of wild. But it's cool. We've been very, very lucky to have fans that seem to kind of want to, like, they're in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I think part of that comes from the attitude of the band, you know, really being fan-centric as well. You know, you guys seem to try and do everything to make the fans' experience as enjoyable as possible and get them into the band. I mean, even if it's just coming up with wacky new ideas for things to sell at the merch table or something like that.
Or like this Kickstarter thing that we've got going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Good segue, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Plug the Kickstarter.
Yeah, we do all of our own vinyl, which is cool. I mean, it's also quite an undertaking. I mean, like, when all this stuff shows up and we have to assemble, you know, put the records in the sleeves and, like, send them all out, you know, like, multiple trips to the post office and coming back with, you know, receipts for shipping that are like, you know, 30 feet long and stuff like that. I mean, it's just a thing that we do. And but with the Kickstarter, we're trying to let people be, you know, as involved as they want to be, and making sure that the vinyl comes out in a cool way, and then offering some pretty awesome prizes to, you know, I mean, like, having a record's great, but like, what if you had a record and, you know, we rode roller coasters with you all day or something, you know? I would like to think and hope at least that we could be a kind of band where, if you're into the band, the kind of the attitude of like, I can't wait to see what they come up with next, mm-hmm. you know, like, because I think it'll probably be pretty awesome, and we'll enjoy that, you know. I mean, we want it to be fun for the fans, and it needs to be fun for us so that it can be fun for the fans. And if we came up there and, you know, you could tell that we just hated it, and, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard to rock out to that, you
right.
know? And we've met some amazingly sweet, generous people over the million years that we've been doing this, so I kind of feel like there's, you know, we kind of scratch each other's backs, you know?
Gotcha. And while we're on the subject, just for anybody who might be interested in helping you out with your Kickstarter, can you just let everybody know where they can access it? Do you happen to know the URL, or I could put it in the article too if you don't know.
That would be easier. I know that you can find it off of like our Facebook and probably our website.
Okay.
I think it's got like a really long title. But it's out there.
Okay. Well, I will definitely link to it. So if you're listening to this now, go back to the article to find the link to the Kickstarter, and maybe you can have the Murdered by Death folks come over and play a show in your living room or one of the other very entertaining prizes.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff up there, and I think we might throw some more stuff in too. Just as we get emails and suggestions and stuff, I mean, like, we're definitely being hands-on with this, and
awesome.
We want it to be awesome. I mean, like, yeah, you can have all the merch you want, but a good story, man. Like, people seem to enjoy that kind of thing, and I know we do.
There you go. So if you have enough money that you want to contribute to getting the new album done, send some sort of a wish to the Murdered by Death folks. I'm sure they can see if they can make it happen.
We'll be as accommodating as we can.
Awesome. So like you said, you do put out every album on vinyl,
mm-hmm.
and you do it yourself. It's a pretty rare thing. But I think the fans seem to enjoy it. I mean, every time that we cover a show, you know, it's the vinyl that people really get attached to. Are you a vinyl guy yourself? Or?
I'm becoming one.
Okay.
I've started collecting a bunch of it, but the record player that I had was actually left at the house. Like, I moved into a place that where my buddy was living, and he left his record player. And then he came back and wanted his record player back, so now I gotta go buy a record player. I think it's cool, man. And it's nice because we have a ton of really talented, you know, artsy friends and stuff, so, you know, they get to make some cool art and we get to use it, and, you know, like, it gets them out there and it makes our packaging look awesome and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's sort of one of the key attractions to vinyl, is just having that extra space for the art, and, you know, being able to do something that you just can't do on a CD, and especially can't do with, you know, an MP3 download. You know, you get that tiny little thing on your iTunes, you can't see anything. But,
yeah.
You know, when you do the vinyl, you have something to hold and to feel.
And, I can tell you that the special edition that we're doing for this one is it's gonna be nuts.
Awesome.
I guess we just try to make things nuts but worth it, you know? Like,
me, Marty.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, crazy but practically crazy.
Well, crazy in a way that you'll enjoy, not, you know, come home to find your pet rabbit on the stove or anything.
I got you.
not Glenn Close crazy.
Okay. So the way that we led into this then was obviously you guys are coming out with a new album.
Right.
And the release date is September
25th, I'm going to say.
25th? Okay, that sounds about right to me.
I think that's right.
And what's the title of it?
It's called Bitter Drink, Bitter Moon.
Bitter Drink, Bitter Moon. Okay.
Yep.
And when I talked to Adam last time, you were sort of just in the process, you know, writing the songs, starting to practice them and get them ready for recording.
Yeah.
How did everything turn out from your perspective?
I'm really excited about it, and I think people will be too. We've never sounded like this on record before. We worked with John Congleton. We recorded with him in Dallas, and you know, I've been a fan of records that he's done for a long time. Like, he did all those Explosions in the Sky records and Baroness and stuff, and then did those last two St. Vincent records that are just, like, you know, crazy sounding. But we were down to him and another guy, and John said, "Look, I'm a fan of the band, but I think you've only been recorded as, like, just a rock band, and there's all this other moody and atmospheric stuff going on, and I really want to kind of, you know, hype that." And we were like, "Yeah, you're probably the guy for the job." There's a few songs that on the new one where, like, I don't think they'd be nearly as exciting or entertaining if they had been recorded by somebody else.
Okay.
It just brought a new dimension to the whole thing. Between that and having Scott on board full time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch more instruments that can, you know, that are available to be used. Went back and did a lot of little, like, ambient noise loops and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that kind of creeps in and creeps out, and you don't necessarily know what's making what sound, stuff like that. And then, you know, song to song, like, certain things will be, like, really pushed or blown out, or, I mean, it's a headphoner for sure.
Gotcha.
I think it's what needed to happen.
Okay. Well, I think that's interesting because, you know, one of the things that sets you guys apart from most other rock bands is you sort of got almost an operatic kind of a sound, and probably a lot of it has to do with the fact that instead of a second guitar, you've got Sarah on the cello, and that sort of gives you a whole other range that no other band, or very few other bands, really have.
It kind of puts you in a different box than two guitars, bass, drums, yeah, for sure.
Right. So do you feel like you were able to sort of incorporate, because of this new direction, you know, more of, I guess, that unique feel that you have on the new album?
Yeah, I think so. We already kind of knew what we did, you know.
Right.
But it's a new set of songs, and who knows what's going to happen. But having John on board, and now that, you know, making records as a five piece again, and that Scott plays, like, you know, so many different things. I kind of feel like we had a bigger palette to work with. And to me, like, you know, I mean, I guess I'm a little close to it because I've been there for all of it, but I mean, it seems pretty logical that this is what was going to happen. I mean, I don't know that I could have predicted it, but having come out the other side of it, it's kind of like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And I think anybody who is, like, you know, a lifer or whatever, we'll probably feel the same way.
Nice. Okay, well, we're definitely looking forward to it. And
the potheads are going to love it.
Oh,
wowee.
Well, that's a large section of our readership, I'm sure. So, yes.
I'm actually kind of jealous because I'm not a pothead. I was like, man, I would love to listen to this record baked out of my skull.
Perfect time to start, I guess, you know. Listen to your own record. But are there any themes or anything that sort of tie the record together and come up again? I know
this one's a little trickier on that point.
Okay.
It's not like Who Will Survive or Red of Tooth and Claw. It's not like concept album.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of loosely Midwestern themes that kind of are in there, but I mean, we basically did the record, found a sequence that we liked, and what we realized is it's kind of a David Lynch-y record.
Okay.
For us. When we put it together in a certain order, it's kind of like, oh, this looks like a nice place to live, but it's fucking crazy, and there's all kinds of bizarre things going on, and, you know, kind of under the surface, you know, seedy underbelly kind of business.
I got you.
Yeah.
So, I guess this is sort of a question that I've had for a while, being a fan of the band. Because if you know Adam Turrell, and obviously you know him a lot better than I do.
I think I do.
He's, you know, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
A little crazy sometimes, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
and, you know, no offense to him, I'm a rather large gentleman, as are you. He's kind of a little bit on the smaller and squirrely side, maybe. But you wouldn't picture a guy like that writing the type of lyrics that he does. I mean,
the whole Roadhouse thing. I thought you'd be bigger.
I mean, or at least more of a mean psychopath. Because I mean, some of his stuff is pretty dark, you know. Three men hanging from a sycamore. Their bodies are stiff as a 2x4. You know.
Yeah, there's some dark shit in there, and I guess it's.
So being, you know, on the road with him so much, I hope you're not scared that some night he's going to crawl into your bed and slice your throat or anything.
Oh, no way, man.
Do you ever, you know, find that kind of dichotomy with him to be a little bit weird, that, you know, he is a good guy, a fun guy, and yet he has this dark place in him that comes out in his writing?
I mean, it doesn't, like, weird me out or anything. It's, I mean, every once in a while, like, if we're writing new stuff and it's something for, you know, like, we think we hear something and it's like, whoa, did you just say that? And it's like, yep. And then we all kind of go, fuck. That's awesome, but, woo, you know. But, no, I mean, like, guy likes to cook and rock climb and stuff. I'm not worried about any kind of psychotic break.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Because, I mean, it's just, you know, being a writer myself, and, you know, when you do fiction or poetry or songwriting or whatever it is,
sure,
you know, everything comes from you in some way, but it's not always a part of you that is, you know, prominent in general. So I just find that interesting,
right,
when you know, you see somebody, you know, like, take Lucinda Williams. I mean, her songs are her. Like, you can totally see that. And, you know,
sure,
every aspect of her being. Whereas, you know, some people, they use their writing as sort of almost an escape to find a different place in themselves.
Sure.
So do you, I mean, is that the sort of the kind of vibe that you get from, I mean, I know I'm asking you about somebody else's writing here, but just being in the band, you know, do you feel like, you know, that's the kind of, one of the things you do as a band is sort of express some of those latent, I guess, ideas that you might not always get out there?
Maybe sometimes. A lot of the time, it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, we liken it to, you know, like, playing a bad guy in a movie or something.
Okay.
Like, when we made the decision, like, we're going to be, like, all dark and be, you know. It's more fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As we've, you know, matured, and I use that very loosely, there's some stuff now that, like, if you asked me 5 years ago if we would ever have any kind of, like, romantic song or anything like that, I would have said probably not, but, you know, times change, people change, all that. So it keeps it interesting. I mean, I think there are some, you know, some personal things that may be in there, but it's also storytelling.
Right.
But, like, there's a song on the new record that is one of our more upbeat sounding things that we've ever done, but I think it's the saddest fucking song we've ever done. It's like a little over a year ago in our town, this pretty 20-year-old girl disappeared. They still haven't found her, you know. But she was from a wealthy family and stuff, and so, you know, the whole town mobilized and was trying to do crazy searches and all that stuff. And during the course of looking for this one girl, they found another one who was poor and, you know, like, nobody really even knew about it.
Right.
But it was just, like, that was just, like, the thing that was happening in our town when we were writing it. It was just, like, it was just this really, like, powerful and sad thing. So we have a song that's kind of about that, and it's not a judgmental thing. It's just kind of, like, you know, there's two sides to all of this, you know. It's, like, switches point of view from the two different girls and stuff. I really like the song a lot, but I mean, is that personal? I guess, you know, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's more, you know, just reactionary, I guess, to to what was going on.
I got you. In town. What's the name of that song?
Hard World.
Hard World. Okay.
I'm really proud of that one. But it's strange. I mean, like, if we're playing that song live, and I actually kind of like think about what's going on, like, I get so bummed out, man. But it's set against a very, like, you know, upbeat and rocking kind of thing.
Right. Well, I think you guys sort of have that a lot, where you contrast, you know, what's going on with the lyrics and the musical sense too. I mean,
like spring break or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You Don't Miss Twice.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting one, because it's one of the goofiest songs,
yeah.
Lyrically. You know, it's about a guy cutting himself, shaving, but he's out camping, basically.
Yeah.
And yet it's got this, you know, great big sound and this, you know, sort of dark rock edge and all that. So I think that is almost one of the hallmarks of your band, is sort of mixing it up in that way and doing what people wouldn't expect.
Yeah, as that's absolutely. We don't want to keep repeating ourselves, you know, because that would be boring for us, and how could we expect anybody else to care, you know? But, I mean, I think maybe earlier on it was like, maybe we kind of had to play up, you know, like what badasses we are or whatever, just to like, you know, get a foot in the door or whatever. So it's fun that now, you know, we're established enough that it's like, you know, we can kind of let some more stuff out, you know, like, yeah, we have a sense of humor, and sometimes we feel feelings, and it's not all about, you know, like, doing body shots off of a demon or whatever, you know, whatever we used to do. It's pretty cool. It's a nice feeling to be able to know that at least we've got enough people who are on board that, like, whatever we come up with, they're going to give it a shot, you know?
Awesome. Well, that's one of the benefits of having such a devoted fan base, too.
Yeah, we really lucked out on that fan base, I'll tell you what.
Well, it's a lot of hard work on your part, too, so
well,
it wasn't completely luck.
Well, sure, but, you know.
You get what you try for sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
Before we go, are there any other previews you can give us? What's coming up on the new album? Any other particular songs that you feel are going to be highlights?
I don't want to say too much. There's some surprises on there, though.
Okay.
There's one song that we were jokingly referring to as our Billy Idol song with a mandolin. There was another one that is kind of Portishead-y. I don't know. I kind of want to let it speak for itself.
I got you.
I mean, it's like, you're going to be able to tell it's us. If you know us, you're going to be able to tell that it's us. But I think there's some stuff on there that people are going to be like, I did not know that was in them, you know?
Very cool.
I'm excited to get it out, but it's, you know, released it, kept getting pushed back and all that. So I feel like I've been like living with it for a lot longer than we have with other records, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's done, we know it's going to be out, you know, it's like, but every time you put out a record, at least for me, I think it feels like sending your kid to school for the first time or something, you know? It's kind of like, they better be nice to you. So I love you. You're good, you know. So hopefully that will still be true, you know. But I'm excited for it. Then the friends that I've played little bits for, you know, are definitely excited, and they wouldn't blow smoke if, you know, they didn't really feel that way. So
cool. Well, it's good to have honest friends too.
Yeah.
In addition to your honest music critics as well. So
right.
When comes time for the No Surf review, we'll try not to tear into you unnecessarily, but I'm sure it will be an awesome record. We're definitely looking forward to it.
I hope that it is. I think it is.
There you go. Well, like you said, you sort of just have to let it go into the world on its own and sort of see what happens. But
but there's already some ones that we've been playing for a while that, you know, like, people know the words and are already ready to sing along and all that kind of stuff. So we started streaming I Came Around, and that's the one that we've been playing the longest out of this new batch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and even if you didn't know it before, I mean, it's like, it's three words, you'll figure it out. You know, but that's always a really fun moment every night, you know, when that happens, because people know it and are excited about the new stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, here it is, woo, you know?
Gotcha. Well, that's always a good sign too. You know, you got people. You got people already into it even before it comes out, so I'm sure that as soon as it comes out, they'll have it play in all the time. So
yeah.
We're definitely looking forward to it, like I said, and we're going to get ready for the show here. So, Matt, thank you very much.
Oh,
it was a pleasure having you, and I'm sure you are going to rock tonight.
I'm
going to
do my damnedest, man.
All right. Well, this has been another edition of No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. Once again, thanks to Matt from Murder by Death. And we're getting ready to rock ourselves, all right. This has been a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammock, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.